Welcome to the Farm to Table Talk podcast, where we talk about our food system from what we eat to how it's grown. I'm your host, Roger Wasson. You can smell it at first from miles away and then on your breath for the rest of the day. I'm talking about the ingredient that makes our favorite foods delicious, garlic. Like most of what we put on our plates, we may not give it its due or even pause to think about how this miracle flavor happens. Well, garlic gets its day in the sun at the world-famous Gilroy Garlic Festival. In this episode of Farm to Table Talk, we travel to Northern California to the center of garlic production and this day of garlic celebration. We visit with people enjoying a day of garlic, with farmers who grow the garlic, and the president of the festival. When you come to the festival, you will probably drive from your home or the San Jose or San Francisco airport, and it will be hot and sunny, almost always. And since ticket lines can be long, you buy your tickets ahead, or like we did, just use your smartphone to purchase online while you're in the line, and then pass everybody and make your way into a splendid overflowing with food and craft booths and happy kids and the aroma of garlic everywhere. I started eating immediately, but then my first conversation is standing by a tent full of master chefs demonstrating how to make food delicious with garlic to talk with the leader of this world-famous culinary classic, the president of the Gilroy Garlic Festival, Dave Reynolds. Dave, are you really world-famous now?
We are. The Garlic Festival is world-famous. We draw people in from Japan, from all over Europe. We just talked to a couple that drove all the way over from Georgia, which is obviously 3,600 miles. They drove over to fulfill their bucket list after 20 years of hearing about this festival. And it's everybody loves garlic, and we just have a great time.
How many people will come in the course of this?
Approximately 100,000 people, anywhere from 95,000 to 110,000. And this year, all signs are we should be right around that 100,000 people number.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of people for a weekend.
That's right.
And what's different from when this thing started?
When this thing first started, it was only a two-day event and drew in maybe 10,000 people. And now this is the 38th year, we're looking at about a 30-acre footprint with 100,000 people coming through. So it just continues to grow.
Now, they're all ages, kids and older people.
We have areas specifically set up for kids with rides and games and their kid-friendly food. And then we have adults, games and things for adults, as well as live entertainment, live music, cooking shows, and then cooking classes that we'll do, all kinds.
Oh, that's exciting. So what's your favorite thing?
I think my favorite thing probably is the free garlic ice cream. So you can come down here and get free garlic ice cream. It sounds a little strange, but it's delicious. And then I also like watching the pyro chefs. Those are the gentlemen up here that are doing their flame-ups with their calamari and their hot oil that combine those two things together. And you get about a 20-foot plume of fire as they're cooking, which is amazing.
The chefs here are preparing a number of different dishes. We have pasta con pesto. We have a scampi in a butter sauce. We have the calamari in a red sauce. We have sausage sandwiches. We have garlic bread, lots of garlic bread, garlic fries. Then we also have fried garlic calamari, and the list goes on.
So this started out because you grew a lot of garlic, isn't that?
That's correct. Yep, absolutely. Gilroy was the largest grower and distributor of garlic for the longest time, and they were those local businesses were looking to strengthen the community of Gilroy and make the world aware of what Gilroy can produce.
Now, I believe it's been overtaken now by China.
I believe so. I don't accept that. We know that the best garlic is grown here, but for consumption, China has a very large consuming market.
Well, what makes great garlic? I mean, when they're raising garlic, what makes it any different?
Weather conditions. Here in our weather conditions and the climate and the soil are perfect here in Northern California for this.
Which must mean hot and dry in the summer.
Yes, you got it.
And did it take a lot of water to grow garlic?
It does. It takes some, but not as much as most. Yeah. Most other products that are being grown.
So the farmers around here that are growing the garlic, then they're processed. Are there several companies still that are processing garlic in this?
The largest area is Christopher Ranch. They are the largest distributor, and they are still located here, but they distribute all over the world.
So this really then started at the farmer level and going through the processor level, and you're the center of garlic, and now you're the attention of the world. So if you had a chance to invite people to come right now, why would you suggest that if they can't get it down this weekend, this puts them on their bucket list, like the couple you said that identified this is one of the things they wanted to get to?
I think because of the unique community of Gilroy, all this entire event is put together by volunteers raising money for charity through the love of food. So we're here, we have some of the best food, local bands as well as national bands. We have cooking shows with celebrity chefs, and there's something here for everybody.
So you said you're making the money for charities. What are the charities that you...
There's over 150 charities that will make money from this event. Anything from Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, marching bands and football players and cheerleaders and all the different groups that you can think of, any community, are all making and we're raising money for them. And we'll make this year, ideally, north of $300,000 to give away by doing this event.
That's fantastic. And the people that are listening to this podcast, they're missing one important part of it, and that is the aroma.
Absolutely.
Walking through here, there's garlic everywhere. And I'm going to take your advice and head over and try the garlic ice cream.
I would.
So, Dave Reynolds, the president of the board of directors for the Gilroy Garlic Festival, thanks for being on Farm to Table Talk. Well, I'm sitting in the shade at the Garlic Gilroy Festival and talking to a couple that came a ways to enjoy the festival, Dana and Flory, and you're from Southern California.
Simi Valley in Ventura County.
Okay, well, you had to have, what, 4-hour drive to get here or so?
We spent about 8 hours coming up the coast, stopped at San Luis Obispo, and had a day in Monterey yesterday, and waiting for the Garlic Festival to start.
Well, so you're here. Have you ever been here before?
I have not. The wife's been talking about it for several years, but she finally got me to come up this year.
So Flory, I'm going to ask you a question now that you've got your mouth full of strawberry shortcake.
Okay.
Yeah. So is it living up to your expectations? You wanted to come here. What do you think?
You know, when you can walk out of your hotel room and smell garlic, I think, yeah, this is the right place to be.
you love the garlic. So you've been hearing about it for a while and just wanted to put this on your bucket list.
Exactly. This is something on my bucket list. Well, a couple of people at work have told me about it, and they said, have you ever tried garlic ice cream? And I said, that can't be real. And they said, yeah, it is. You got to go. So we finally made the plan to come, and we've had probably, what, 5 cones of garlic ice cream already?
I've got to get the garlic ice cream.
That was the first thing we ate. Probably should have been one of the last, but it was the first thing I ate.
Well, you also have a bag of goodies, and since this is more like radio than not, people can't see the goodies you have. But what are some of the things you picked up so far? That garlic souvenirs and
Mostly seasonings. There's a special blend from Gilroy, I guess, and then there's a rub to put on like meats and stuff. And I also have a garlic dip mix. I bought 3 of those because if I like them, I'll probably make more.
But you might have to wait for the next garlic festival before you can fill it up again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To complete our garlic story, we have to leave the table and go back to the farm to visit with 2 different types of organic farmers. One is larger scale, producing garlic for processors and fresh market national distribution. And the other is a smaller certified organic farm that markets her garlic through farmers markets and select restaurants. I start with a certified organic farmer who has a number of different products she grows, and that's Jamie Collins of Serendipity Farms.
For us, I think the size was an issue this year just because we have coastal land, but we plant the individual cloves and try and feed it with lots of fertilizer in order for it to grow pretty big. Planted in January and harvested as kind of green garlic to start with, and then the dried cured garlic after that. So.
Well, let's back up a second. So what do you plant? Do you plant seeds in January?
The different cloves, yeah. of the garlic, the actual cloves of the garlic we plant.
Oh, you just stick them in the ground.
Yeah.
So you save some garlic from the previous season and you put them in the ground.
You can. I bought the garlic seed, though. Okay. Yeah, some nice garlic seed.
So since you're certified organic, what are you able to put on your garlic and your other products to and still qualify for being certified organic?
Well, we use a pelletized fertilizer that's a 2022.5. So it's a processed manure product. And then we use fish emulsion and things like that. We've never sprayed anything organic or approved or otherwise for pests. And garlic doesn't really have any pests because it's garlic, and it is actually used as a pest control in organic
farming. How's that?
So, well, there's some products made from garlic just because it's such a strong substance that you could spray for, you know, break. I don't know. I don't make it, but they make it out of garlic. I assume you could just rot it down and, you know, and make it some kind of spray out of it. But
so when you plant them, and how much is there to do between now and when you actually get the garlic plant? Is there other than what, some weeding and make sure they're
weeding,
getting the water?
And we hill them up with the tractor. We use the shovels to put more dirt on the over the top of them. And just some weeding, and that's about it.
Put more dirt over the top of them.
Yeah, like a potato, like hill them up, you know.
Okay. And then when you start harvesting them, which is about when are the garlic cloves ready?
We've harvested them like 2 months ago, month and a half ago now.
Uh-huh.
We first pulled out for green garlic, and then after that, we let them cure in the field. We pull them out and leave them on the top of the field to dry.
Uh-huh. Oh, that sounds good. Now, and then they're good for another, what, how long are garlic cloves?
Probably 4 or 5 months before they start to get soft or so.
Almost get you to the next season then.
Almost, yeah.
So just tell me, what are the other things that you're growing on your farm?
We have blueberries, we have strawberries, we have root crops, greens, beans, a little bit of everything, herbs, all sorts of stuff, potatoes, tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, winter squash, summer squash, as we can grow the different
things. And then just one more thing about garlic, how do you decide how much of that, when you're putting all these different products together, how are you deciding how much of each of these that you're gonna grow each year?
You know, we haven't been growing, this is the first time we've grown garlic in quite a few years,
okay.
So I'm not an expert garlic grower, and I got to figure out how to make the garlic cloves bigger, the heads bigger. I think it's just that where we're at, that we're closer to the coast, so we don't get the sun like they're usually grown in Gilroy, where it's hot. So it's where we're at. So it might not be worthwhile because people want the big heads, and we have little heads. Still, it's very strong. It's very strong. You're welcome to take a clove home, but it's so strong. It's good garlic. It's just small, so it takes more work to clove out there.
Now, do you do farmers markets, and where else do you sell all of your produce?
Farmers markets, some restaurants, the Live Oak Market here, Pacific Grove, and then we do 4 markets in San Francisco a week.
Oh, you do? No, and it's a Serendipity Farms. Do you have a website?
We do. It's serendipityorganics.com.
Well, people should check it out and go. You've got so many different spots that they can pick up and get some of your products. So, thanks. Is there anything I've left out that you wanted to say about?
I don't think so.
All right.
Well, just go get some garlic.
I'm going to buy some garlic now.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Well, China is by far the largest producer of garlic in the world. But we do have a very viable, strong industry here in the United States that are producing for processors and for the fresh market for distribution nationwide. We're going to talk to one of those farmers that has a range of products and explain where garlic fits into the total scheme of things. And I'm happy to have a chance to visit with Kevin Rubel, who's the crop manager for Wolf Farming.
We grow tomatoes mostly. That's kind of our flagship of what we do here. This year I think we have about 4,300 acres or so, and we grow garlic, onions, wheat, do some cotton, and we also got into some organic production. We did some organic tomatoes and organic broccoli.
How does garlic compare? How thirsty is it compared to the other row crops or even the tree crops?
Compared to other row crops, I'd say it's comparable. I'd say the range is 32 to 38 inches, depending on if it's early or late garlic. And compared to the permanent crops, as almonds, for example, it's going to be quite a bit less. Tomatoes will be somewhere in the range of 32 to 36, so it'd be comparable to the other row crops.
Now, the water that you use, will it be well water, or will it be surface irrigation water?
Currently, we'll be using well water just to the lack of supplied surface water from Westlands Water District. So, yeah, we'll be producing the crop with well water, and eventually, hopefully, we'll get some kind of allocation that we can use fresh water, which will hopefully, in theory, clean up the ground and provide us with a better return.
So how many options do you have as far as a market? So I assume you have to have a market lined up before you even plant the garlic. Is that right?
That's correct. They'll do some fresh market, depending on the quality, usually is how they determine what it goes for. It could either be fresh market or for processing.
But how many companies are there to compete? I mean, if you say, I'm going to grow garlic, I don't need to know the names of the companies, but do you go to company A and company B and say, I'm thinking about growing garlic, and what can our contract be with you? And do you make a selection then as to who you're going to contract with and put the garlic in for?
That's correct. Yeah, it's going to be monetary based, obviously, and then there's usually, three to four people, or I'd say companies, that will do that sort of thing, and it just depends on whether it's fresh or processed. Yeah.
Why don't you explain that, the difference then between fresh? Are those just garlic cloves that are in supermarkets or at restaurants that they're getting the fresh garlic versus what diced and jars and seasonings and so forth?
Correct, yeah. You're going to have the fresh cloves of what you would see in the store, and then you're going to have something that would be processed in the chopped up, diced, that sort of thing, and then also in the dehydrated.
Let's kind of go through the timing on it, though. So you've decided you're going to go with a certain company, then they're going to be providing your market. And that decision will be made, before Christmas?
No, that'll be made about right now, actually. Well, the planting time will be from sometime in September to October, depending on if it's early or late garlic. And then we'll go ahead and start getting the ground ready and, make our decision on which companies and go from there.
So if you make a decision in August and you're going to be planting in September or so, and you've decided on a company, and then does that company help you choose the variety of garlic that you plant?
Yeah, the variety is going to depend on what they need on the end user usually. Mm-hmm. So basically, it'll be for a region. The varietals are either by region or for what the end product they're looking for.
So the garlic, does it come to you in seeds? Is that form, or are there some other way that you start them?
No, it comes in like clove form in the clove.
Oh, so a clove, just like people do in their own home gardens, where they take a clove and just stick it in the ground.
Correct.
So you just plant these cloves. And if you might do, say, perhaps as much as 1,000 acres?
No. In the past, we've done somewhere between 450 and 750. Mm-hmm. This year, it'll probably be closer to 450 acres.
So when they plant them, are they planted by hand, or is there a machine that puts the cloves in the ground?
Yeah, they're planted with a machine, and basically, it's planted on a 40-inch bed. There's two lines of seed or clove that are planted, and
we can explain that, a 40-inch bed. So are they kind of mounded?
Yes, they're going to be what we call mulch. They're going to be flat on topped.
Uh huh.
That way, it's easy to get consistency in the depth and with the planter.
And how far apart are the cloves?
It's more of a volume per acre planted.
Oh, okay. But I'm just wondering, if you went out and looked in the field where you would put them in, are they, every 5 or 6 inches, or?
No, you'd probably have, I'd say between 4 to 6 per foot.
Oh, okay. Now, so you've got these cloves in the ground, and you've done this after you've chosen who you're going to market with, and they've helped you pick out the variety of garlic that you're going to be planting. the water source, is there a drip system that's in place that works for the garlic?
For us, typically we started on sprinklers, and then we will install drip tape in between the two lines of garlic.
So you're using sprinklers over the field while it's getting started. How far along is it before you put the drip tape in?
Pretty much after the first, after you sprinkle it up, after you've planted it, we will install it. After the field's dry enough to get in there, we'll install the drip tape.
So, and how do you do that? I mean, is that mechanically done, too, with the tractor that's rolling it down between the...
Correct, yeah. We have a bar that...
And it's dropping the drip. And then that way, they're just getting just the exact amount of water that they need. What about in the preconditioning of that soil? It's just been, what, disced and several times before you're doing the planting?
We have various... ways a little bit, but roughly, you know, our kind of our standard operating procedure, if you will be, we'll disc it a few times. Usually it's chiseled to break up any compaction. We'll reform the beds and then put any amendments on before we plant.
What about amendments? I mean, explain that. What do you mean when you say amendments?
That could be, depending on soil quality and chemistry, that could be gypsum sulfur usually, or any pre-plant fertilizer.
And what about any other kind of fertilizer that had to be in the ground before you're planting?
Most of the fertilizer, well, will be incorporated early. Most of it is applied after through the drip tape.
Oh, so through the drip?
Usually it'll be a CAN 17 or a UN32 product.
What is that?
That would be basically two different sources of N.
Nitrogen.
That we'll apply depending on amounts needed for the field.
Mm-hmm. Are there insects that you have to guard against or use certain pesticides to control?
We do. Yeah, the biggest problem, I'd say the two biggest issues are going to be rust, which would be a fungus, which we would control with a fungicide, and thrips, which we will control with insecticide, yes.
And how do you apply that?
Usually that's applied either with a ground rig or via helicopter. And then the harvest window would be sometime between June and August, depending on how the crop finishes and the need for at the processor.
How do you harvest garlic?
It depends. The garlic will be, usually it's topped and dug, and then it will be hand harvested into bins.
Wait a minute, you said tops, and I didn't understand that. What was that?
I'm saying it will be topped, like the top of the plant as it dries down.
Oh, right.
And then it will be windrowed, and it will actually be hand-harvested and selected and then put in.
And they go into bins. And then do you sort them further, or is it there ready to go to a processor?
It will go to the processor from the field, correct. It will not be sorted until it gets to the processor.
Like you're farming and you're running these different row crops, how did you prepare for that? Were you raised on a farm, or did you study agriculture someplace?
Yeah, I grew up working around the ag industry. My father works in sales for commodity sales, and I attended Cal Poly and did some work before being here in Huron, California. I was in Chowchilla for a few years after school and got the ball rolling, and now I'm here, been here at Wolf Farming for 5 years.
Well, Kevin, thanks. I really appreciate your walking us through the other side of garlic. So many people like myself are enjoying garlic in some one way or another almost every day. And as we've been talking about the garlic festival in Gilroy, it's nice to be able to take a trip to the fields where it all started. So as you're right now at a time where you're getting ready to harvest so many of the crops, what do you like best about the job right now, this part of the season?
I think it's just being able to see the completion of something you started. That's the biggest positive that I take out. I like to put something in the ground, get it started, do our best to produce the largest volume we can, and see it come to a head at the end and get it harvested and taken to the processor with good quality, hopefully.
Well, that's great. Well, Kevin Rubel with Wolf Farming, thanks very much. I appreciate your chatting with us on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining the Farm to Table Talk podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to listen regularly on SoundCloud or iTunes to Farm to Table Talk.